the special mitzvah of Tkiyat Shofar in the Beis HaMikdash, Bachatzotzos V'kol Shofar, Ariyu Lifnei HaMelech Hashem, and the idea being that somehow in the Beis HaMikdash there's a need to balance the theme of Chatzotzos, which may be most affiliated with the idea of Al Hatzar Hatzarer Eschem, as we spoke about yesterday, the idea that they should be kfufin with Shofar, which on the one hand is certainly Kevan Zikaron Kasi Kibifnim Dami, it's Malar Zichronos Lifnei Hashem, but it's really also, especially within the context of the Yovel, it's an instrument of Hachrazo, Krasim Doror Baretz, V'chol Yoshua, it may be affiliated with the theme of Samach Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. Maybe that's a way of making sense of this fascinating topic. In any event, we indicated yesterday that the positions that were delineated, Shofar Shel Rosh Hashanah Shel Yael Pashut, is in fact Shelo Chedin, and that we paskin, as we'll see in just a moment, in accordance with a different view. Shava, this is the fifth Mishnah, HaYovel Rosh Hashanah Letzkiyo Lebrachos. So Rosh Hashanah is the same as Yovel for purposes of Tkiya. Some Rishonim, the Bartanura, thinks that this indicates that this is as far as the actual shofar which is being used is concerned, as well as the brachos, meaning malchios, zichronos, and shofaros are concerned. The Bartanura, for example, says that this indicates that we're actually using the same exact shofar. Now, to give a little bit of background here, there's a gzera shava, there's a comparison which is made within this context. It's always wonderful to see Shoshana with us and family. There's a gzera shava which is based on the psukim in Emor and Pinchas in conjunction with the psukim in Bahar. The Torah says in Parshas Emor, Zichron Truah, it says in Parshas Bahar, Parshas Pinchas, excuse me, appropriate, referencing Parshas Pinchas, that it's a Yom Truah, and the use of the term in Bahar is Vahavarta Shofar Truah B'chodesh HaShviyah B'esor L'chodesh. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Lamed Aleph darshens that Melamed Kol Truah Shel Chodesh HaShviyah B'Shaveh, that all of the truos of the seventh month are really equivalent to each other. So there's a gzera shava that the Tanakhama is operating with, that in terms of malchios, zichronos, and shofaros, in terms of the way that we make the sounds of the shofar, and indeed, in terms of the type of shofar that we use itself, it should be the same whether it's Yom Kippur of the Yovel year or whether it's Rosh Hashanah every single year. Now again, that would seem to indicate that they should both be pshut and they should both be straight. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, so he either rejects the gzera shava in full or in part. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rosh Hashanah token b'shel zecharim. Rosh Hashanah, we should use bent horns of the ram, right, to indicate our sense of crisis on Rosh Hashanah, the idea of Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim, Psuchim Lefanav, the idea that everything is being judged, to the Yovel b'shel ye'elim, right? But on the Yovel, the 10th day of the Yovel year, as we indicated, that's a different theme, that's a different motif of hachraza, of declaring that the slaves free are freed and emancipated, that the lands are returned back to their original owners. Okay, so that is indeed how we pass. Now, the question is, like, how far do we take this? So according to most Rishonim, and this is reflected to different degrees in the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, the idea is that using the shofar of a ram is optimal. We say that it's a mitzvah min hamovchar, maybe it's the way to accomplish the mitzvah in the ideal sense, l'chatchila. The Rambam was of the view that it's the only way to accomplish the mitzvah of shofar is to use the horn of a ram. It's that important, tied into Akedas Yitzchak. The Ravid famously criticizes the Rambam for this ruling, and he says, Hifriz al Midosa, that he went way too far. And the Ravid, like everybody else, supports the idea of using the shofar shalayil in terms of evoking Akedas Yitzchak, which is certainly the greatest merit that we have approaching God in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But in the end, he doesn't think that you can really argue that it's li'ikuva, that it's absolutely essential. Okay, so again, we do paskin, and it's a universal minhag of Klal Yisrael to use a shofar shalayil. Question is, you know, if a person were on a desert island and they didn't have it, according to the Rambam, you know, you wouldn't be yotzei. According to everybody else, presumably you could be yotzei b'di'eved. Again, along the lines that we said before, it can't be a shofar shalpara, it can't be from a behemoth tmeya, and it can't be an animal whose horn doesn't have any hollow section. So the sixth Mishnah moves on now to a very important topic, which is the cheftza shel shofar, not where it comes from, not the min of the shofar, but the object itself. Shofar shenistak, if the shofar is cracked longitudinally, that is to say on a vertical axis, not horizontally, right, v'dibko, and then you sort of glue it together, puzzle. There's different theories as to why this is the case. You know, the most ambitious of them is like, it's like two different shofaros. That's once it's cracked longitudinally, even if you glue it back together, and seal it, it's still considered not like a shofar, it's rather like two shofaros. Again, that's a very conceptual way of formulating the psul. Dibek shivrei shofaros, if you want to sort of take fragments of shofar and glue them together, that's also puzzle. Well, shofar has to be a holistic entity. Interesting. Nikev ustamo, so let's say it was just punctured, and you fill it back in. Im'akev satzkiya puzzle, v'imlav kasher. So this requires explanation. So the Rishonim points out, based on the Gemara, that they're really three criteria that have to be met to repair a shofar in this fashion. Number one, it can't be the majority of the shofar which has been punctured. So if it's this massive hole and it's over, you know, like half of the surface area of the shofar, so that's not considered subject to repair, number one. Number two is that when you repair it, it has to be what we call min bimino. You have to actually use that exact same min. Otherwise, it's like mixing two different kinds of shofars, which we indicate is a problem. And number three, this is a really interesting idea, and it's a machokas we showed him to interpret, but I'll present the consensus view in the interest of time, is that it can't be ma'akev esatzkiya, that was the language of the Mishnah, namely that if the hole was so large that you couldn't actually use it in the interim, and then you fill it back in, it's like a different shofar. It's not the same shofar. So it's only as if it was passable, if it was usable, just not quite as good, right? So, you know, then you can fill it back in, but if it becomes invalidated, then it's not going to work altogether. So it's very apropos that we should do this, because on my way, you know, running here as I always do, I'm putting my kids to sleep. I one of my sons decided to leave their whistle, you know, on the floor of their bedroom. So after almost killing myself, you know, tripping over it, that's like a nightly occurrence. So this time I actually crushed the whistle. So it was really interesting to see my son's reaction. Obviously, he was deeply concerned for my welfare. No, he was interested in the whistle. So he wanted to know, it was crushed, but good. So the first thing that he tries to do with the whistle is he tries to blow it, to see if it's still functional. It was not. So I was already kind of running up against the clock. So I didn't take the time to explain to him. I said, oh, this is what the Mishnah is talking about, right? If it's rendered unusable, even if I'll fix it now, right? We'll see what happens when I get home. But if I'll fix it now, that's not going to help from the standpoint of shofar. It might help from the standpoint of whistle, but it's not going to help from the standpoint of shofar.